The recording that you're about to listen to is a talk from the City Bible Forum. We would appreciate you respecting our copyright by not making copies of this talk or altering the content in any way. We hope that you find the material beneficial. If you would like more information on the City Bible Forum, you can visit us on the web at citybibleforum.org.
All right, so the alarm clock goes off, bah, 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 and so begins another day. Wake up, get dressed, go to work, come home from work, eat dinner, sleep, and then repeat. Do the same thing all over again. Well, that was my routine when I was in primary school, 20 to 30 years ago. I'm still doing the same routine I was doing as a little child. My life has gone nowhere. If anything, my life has gone backwards because I now have less freedom, more debt, and more responsibility. So our question is this: how do we survive the daily grind? Now, we can define the daily grind as us doing the same thing over and over and over again. And after a while, we worry, is this really what I want to be doing for the next 20 or 40 years of my life? Where is my life going? What is the point? What am I gaining? What is the purpose of the daily grind? Now, in the Bible, there's a writer who writes a book called Ecclesiastes, and he describes our daily grind as this: what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. And the writer's asking the same question we're asking. If we're just doing the same thing over and over again, and we're not gaining anything, and there's nothing new, really, what is the point of life? Where am I going? What is the purpose? So to answer this question, we're going to have a Bible talk. We're going to look at what the Bible, maybe the Christian worldview, has to say. And there'll be two parts to my talk. In the first part, we'll look at, well, what are the problems with our daily grind? And in the second part of the talk, I'll look at, well, what might be the solutions to our daily grind from the Christian worldview, from the Bible? And this will come in the form of a 20-minute talk from me now, and then we'll have some time for question and answer from you guys. So let's go to the first part of the talk. What is the problem with a daily grind? And here I suggest at least two things. Number one, the problem is this: we're just doing the same thing over and over and over again. Every day it's the same thing. Bah, 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 the alarm goes off, have breakfast, get dressed, go to work, stop for lunch, come back from work, go home, have dinner, watch TV, go to sleep, and repeat over and over and over again. We're just doing the same thing over and over and over again. A few years ago, I broke my arm, and so my right hand had to be in a plaster cast. And it's really hard having one hand in a cast because you can't do anything one-handed. You can't put toothpaste on a toothbrush with one hand. You can't get toilet paper off the toilet roll with only one hand. My wife broke her hand once too, and she had one hand in a cast. And so I had the job of doing her hair every morning. And guys, let me say, it is a lot harder than you think. It's very hard to put a hair in a scrunchie. So after a while, my wife just gave up letting me do it. And she preferred her one-handed attempts over my two-handed attempts. But there's also another problem with your hand being in a cast. After a while, because your hand's not moving, it's just in the same position day after day, your muscles waste away. And also you can get pressure sores, which you don't feel because you are just numb to the pain. And that's what our daily grind feels like. We're just doing the same thing over and over again, and we feel like our lives are wasting away because nothing's changing, and we're just numb to the pain. We commute every day on autopilot. We eat our lunches at our desk like zombies, and we work at our stations like robots. Autopilot, zombies, robots. They are dehumanizing words. there's something very dehumanizing about doing the same thing over and over again. It seems to suck the soul, the spirit, the joy out of our lives, and we feel less than human because we're just doing the same thing over and over again. That's one problem. A second problem is this. It feels like we're not achieving anything. We're not gaining anything. What is the point of our daily grind? In Greek mythology, you will know there was a guy called Sisyphus. And Sisyphus was punished by the gods to do this. He had to roll a big rock up a hill. And at the end of the day, he had to watch the rock go bop, 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 back down the hill. So the next day, he had to roll the rock back up the hill. Only to watch it go back down the hill at the end of the day. He was just doing the same thing, but not gaining anything. And that was his punishment from the gods. And that's what our life feels like. Every year at New Year's, we make the same resolutions. This year I will eat less, drink less, and I will exercise more. And every year at the next New Year's, we make the same resolution again. Well, this year, for sure, I will eat less, drink less, and exercise more. We don't gain anything. We're not gaining anything. We're just doing the same thing over and over again. Every day when you clock into work, you see a mountain of emails in your inbox. And bit by bit through the day, you work through the emails until your inbox is almost empty. And then the next day you log on, it's back up. Just like Sisyphus rolling the rock up the hill. That's us trying to empty our inbox tray. We are not gaining anything. A few years ago, my wife and I finally bought a house. We stopped renting and we bought a house. And now we have a mortgage. And each month we put money into the mortgage, month after month after month. And each month the mortgage is just as big. We're not gaining anything. What? We're not, there's no gain, there's no profit. We're just circling the block. So what is the point of the daily grind? And this is what the writer in Ecclesiastes says. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, but the sea is never full. What's the point of that? To the place the streams come from, there they return again. What's the point of that? All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. That's the problem with our daily grind. We're just doing the same thing over and over again, and we're not gaining anything. We're not going anywhere. Well, let's come to the second part of the talk now. Well, what's the solution? What might the Bible have to say? What might be a Christian worldview that can equip us to survive the daily grind? And I suggest we need to reframe the way we look at this world. We need new eyes to reframe the way we look at our daily grind. And a lot of what I'm about to say now, I owe to Kirk Patston, who taught me the Old Testament, and he has taught me this way of reframing the way we look at both what the writer says in Ecclesiastes and to look at the way we see our daily grind. So here I suggest three things. Number one, enjoy the moment for what it is. Just enjoy the moment. It's a good gift from a good God to enjoy. Enjoy the moment. So one time when I was in high school, after school, a whole bunch of us boys in our school uniform hung around in the park next to our school. And then there was this old man just running around slowly, doing laps around the park. And as boys, we were a bit bored, we were a bit mischievous. So we started forming a tunnel for him. So every time he came around, we clapped and we cheered and had to run through this tunnel and we you know, hooped and hollered. And every time he came around, he put his arms up in this mock celebration and he was loving it. But hang on, what is the point? He's not going anywhere. He's not in a race. He's not winning an event. He's not making any net distance. He's just going round and round a park. What is the point? Well, the point is this. He was in the moment. He doesn't have to win a race. He was just enjoying it for what it was, a good gift from a good God to enjoy. We just need to reframe the way we look at our daily routine. It's a good gift from a good God to enjoy. I have three young boys, Toby, Cooper and Jonty, and every night I have the daddy job of reading them a bedtime story. And every night they're saying, we want the bike lesson, we want the bike lesson. And every night I'm saying, hey, we have done that over and over again. Let's do something different. They go, no, we want the bike lesson. I'm saying, no, I'm sick of the bike lesson. I want to do a different story. They go, no, we want the bike lesson. So I say, okay, let's do the bike lesson. And they go, yay, it's the bike lesson, it's the bike lesson, it's the bike lesson. In their childlike innocence, they see wonder, beauty, and joy in doing the same thing over and over again. Now, I'm a public speaker, so if you came back next week, and if I was here trying to give you the same talk, you'd be going, boo, boo, get off. We've heard this talk before. Boo, boo, get off. But if I was a rock star like Bruce Springsteen or Taylor Swift and I sang you a song you knew, you'd be going, oh, I know this song. I love this song. And you'd be singing the words with the yes. I love hearing this song over and over again. This is Cold Chisel. They had a concert about a year ago. A nurse from work went and I asked her, how was the Cold Chisel concert? And she went, oh, they kept trying to play their new stuff. We wanted to hear their old stuff. See, there's a beauty and joy in hearing the stuff over and over again. Once a year, my family and I, we have a beach holiday in January. And I've worked out there are three phases to a holiday. The first phase, you're still de-stressing from work. The middle phase, you're going, ah, oh, I'm so relaxed. But the final third phase, you go, oh, okay, I'm so over this. I need a routine. And then you come back home and my boys are clapping and cheering. We're home, we're home. They kiss the floor. We crave a routine. We want to be in the same place. We want to be doing the same thing over and over again. There's a beauty and a wonder and joy in it. I work one day a week as a surgical assistant in surgery with doctors. And in operations, us doctors, we like every operation to do the same thing over and over again. We want every operation to go exactly like the operation before and the operation before that. In an operation, new is not a good thing. In an operation, us doctors don't want to say, ha! That's never happened before. That is not a good thing to say as a doctor. We just wanted to go like clockwork over and over again. This is a metronome. Every Asian in the room just went, oh, a metronome. Because we all got forced to learn a musical instrument. Being Asian is funny because your parents force you to learn music, but they don't want you to be a musician. Like if you say, hey, mum and dad, I want to be a musician. They go, no, you're to be a doctor and a lawyer. But somehow they still force you to learn a musical instrument and we all had to put up with a tick, 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 tick. The rhythm of the metronome doing the same thing over and over again. And that's what gives music its beauty, its rhythm, the repetition of doing the same thing over and over again. And this is the whole enterprise of the sciences. We need the universe to go like clockwork, tick, 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 doing the same thing over and over again. Every experiment is meant to do the same thing over and over and over again. The sun is meant to always rise in the east and set in the west. We need water always to be H3O. We don't want water suddenly become H13O. No, that's not good if it happens. We want it always to be H2O. We need gravity always to be 10.8 meters per second squared. We need the hemoglobin oxygen desaturation curve to always do the same thing. It's always done over and over and over again. So now that we see there's beauty in the rhythm and repetition of the universe, let's reframe the way we even look at what the writer is saying in the Bible, because maybe this is what the Bible is saying. The sun rises in the east and it sets again in the west and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and it turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. How does that happen? Isn't that beautiful? Imagine if the sun didn't do that. We would die. Our life depends on this rhythm. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. How does that happen? Well, that's the water cycle we learn about in science. There's a beauty in that. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. We need to reframe the way we see our rhythm and repetition. When we catch a train, we go, wow, I'm catching the same train from the same platform, same time as yesterday. How does that happen? Wow, I'm working the same job at the same desk as I was yesterday. How does that happen? Wow, I'm eating lunch at the same place as yesterday and they didn't run out of food. How does that happen? I think that's the first thing the Bible says. See the beauty and joy in the rhythm and repetition of life. Enjoy the moment for what it is, a good gift from a good God to enjoy. The second thing is this then. We need to worship the God who's behind the rhythm and repetition of life. This is what the writer says. I know there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their work, in their daily routine. This is the gift from God. And I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him, so people will love him, worship him, and serve him. See, there is a God who's behind the rhythm and repetition in our life. There's a God behind our routine. And once we recognize this, we are to worship and love and serve and fear this God. And if we're in rhythm with him, we will be in rhythm with our lives and our universe as well. See, basically, we only have two choices. There's only two choices in life. Choice number one, all I am is atoms and molecules. That's all I am. All I am is ribbons of DNA propagating and surviving. That's all I am. There is no meaning. There is no purpose. There is no rhythm. Events are just events. They just happen. Get over it. Any talk of purpose or rhythm or routine is just my imaginary thinking. It's just wish fulfillment. But really, events are just events. They just happen. I'm just atoms and molecules. That's one option. But the second option is this. There is a God behind this universe. He loves me. He makes me. He saves me. And he has programmed the rhythm and the repetition and routine in my life. And if I am in touch with this God, I will be in touch with my life as well. But more than that, the Bible goes on to say, the only way to know this God is through Jesus, Jesus Christ. And in the Bible, it hints at this because it gives Jesus a nickname from the Greek called Logos. And Logos in the Greek means not just word, but logic. Jesus is the routine, the rhythm behind this universe. And if we know Jesus, we will know God. And if we know Jesus, we will be in touch with the rhythms and routines of my life and this universe. When I was a medical student, I was actually at Westmead Hospital and I was in the antenatal clinic. And part of my job was to get the little ultrasound probe and see women about 35 weeks pregnant, try to see if I could hear the heartbeat of the fetus inside the woman. And because I was so junior, I could never find the heartbeat. But every now and then, if you just angled the probe just right, you would hear it whoosh, 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 so loud you wondered, how did I miss that? And it's the same with the universe. If we just listen hard enough, we will hear whoosh, 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 the heartbeat of the God who programs the rhythm and routines in our life. And if we're in touch with this God, we will be in touch with ourselves and this universe. And the Bible says the only way to do this is through Jesus. So how do we survive our daily routine? I've said several things today. I've said the problem is it feels like we're just doing the same thing and we're not going anywhere. But the solution is this. We don't have to go anywhere. Just enjoy the moment for what it is, a good gift from a good God to enjoy. Worship the God who's behind this, and the way to do that is by knowing Jesus. And finally, just trust that Jesus has some wisdom and purpose behind what we do, even if we can't see it from where we are. Just about a year ago, my car died. We had to junk it. So my parents gave me their old second-hand car. Now, this is it. So, yes, it's reliable. Yes, it's economical. Yes, it gets you from point A to point B. But it's pretty boring. It's not fast. It doesn't perform. It doesn't handle. It's just a glorified shopping trolley. That's all it is. And you think, why couldn't they have given me this? Something more exciting, more fast, more powerful. So there are two ways I can tell this story. This is my car. Why does this have to be my car? Yes, it's reliable. Yes, it's economical. But why could my parents have given me a Mustang, a Porsche, or something exciting? Why does this have to be my car? That's one way of telling the story. But there's another way of telling the story. This is my car. No, it's not a Mustang. No, it's not a Porsche. But this is my car. It was a gift from my parents. They didn't have to give it to me, but they did. And so now I know I have parents who love me, and I can always trust them, and they'll always support me no matter what. And there are two ways we can tell the story of our life. This is my life. Why does this have to be my life? I'm doing the same thing over and over again. Why can't I be a rock star? Why can't I be a brain surgeon? Why can't I win any Nobel Prizes? Why does this have to be my life? That's one way of telling our story. But there's another way. This is my life. No, I'm not a rock star. No, I haven't won any Nobel Prizes. No, I'm not a brain surgeon. But this is my life. It's a good gift from a good God to enjoy. He didn't have to give me life. He didn't have to give me a routine, but He did. And so I know there's a God who loves me. I can trust Him, and He will always support me no matter what. If we just reframe the way we see our daily routine, we will hear the heartbeat of a God who's behind it. And if we know Jesus, we will know this God, and we'll be in tune with our lives as well as the rhythms of this universe.
The recording that you have just listened to is from the City Bible Forum. For more information about City Bible Forum events in your city, or to order other talks, please visit citybibleforum.org.